Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Yay! Hi! Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the A&N After Show. This is our second installment of the Attack on Titan season. We're going to be talking about episode 69, and I want everyone to get their nice out of the way like right now. So if you want to type nice into chat, go ahead and do it. Episode 69, I know how that goes. You can't help yourselves, right? Before we get started, a little bit of a recap of who we are, what we're doing. This is the A&N After Show, powered by Anime NYC. I'm Lindsay Loveridge, the executive editor of Anime News Network, and my co-hosts here are Jackie Ching and James Beckett. Jackie heads up all of our video stuff over on our YouTube channel, and she was kind of the motivator behind making this happen. So if you're enjoying the show, you know, give her a shout out. And James here is our Attack on Titan expert. So he's been reviewing the show on the Anime News Network. He knows everything there is to know. So when I get confused, I turn to him and then he tells me what's going on. So
James answered all the big questions for us.
He did answer a lot of the big questions for us on our last episode, which is on our YouTube channel. And there's also a podcast version. You can find it at on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anything you use to listen to podcasts. You can find the podcast version of this to get yourself caught up, and we'll have new episodes uploaded there every Tuesday. So before we get started, we're going to talk about the headlines, because that's what we do every episode, is we talk about what's happening in the anime world and what the biggest things are. And we had a lot happen over the last week, besides being, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been snowed in actually for the last 48 hours. We got like a foot and a half of snow. I hear that it's happening in Florida, Texas, everywhere. Weather's crazy.
Not here in California.
Yeah.
Living the life. I was just at the beach.
I'm so blue so much.
Yeah, no, it's like sunny and gorgeous. I just finished playing sand volleyball actually, but enjoy the snow, Lindsay.
Yeah, I did. I went sledding down my driveway. I have a driveway that is like, the angle is like this. Like it's that was one of the concessions I made when I bought the house. I was like, well, the driveway looks like a pain in the ass, but everything else is good. So yeah, I took that, and now it's perfect for sledding, but really bad for trying to get your car in the garage when it snows outside. Yeah. So anyway, before we get started, all right, so we've got one controversial headline, and then the rest are really exciting, actually. So we'll get the controversial one, I think, out of the way. I don't know how many in chat are familiar with Mushoku Tensei, Jobless Reincarnation. It's this gorgeous-looking show, isekai show, about 30-something-year-old shut-in. He gets reincarnated into a fantasy world. He has to start his whole life over as a child and, you know, meets people, goes to magic school, all that kind of stuff. Animation is just gorgeous. There's some creepy stuff in it, though, that caught me off guard and quite a few other people, because the main character's a big pervert, and I'm not really going to get into, like, all the, like, dirty, nasty stuff that's in there. But that was enough to set off the alarm bells over at Bilibili. So if you're not familiar with Bilibili, it's the biggest streaming service in China. They have original content on there, and they also stream anime and everything else. I would compare it like more to YouTube than Crunchyroll. Like, there's all kinds of stuff on there. And a popular YouTuber kind of called out the show, called out its fans. He said some not so nice things. He got in trouble with Bilibili. They like are going to charge him money or something for for his contract, for like disobeying his contract or something. But then there was blowback from that because a lot of the criticisms for the show were coming from female users and Billy Billy was deleting their comments. So now people are saying Billy Billy's misogynistic. And now a bunch of a bunch of Chinese brands are actually cutting ties with the service. They're like, Billy Billy is misogynistic and you don't respect our female user base, so we're not going to give you money anymore, which is crazy because, I mean, stuff has been pulled from Billy Billy before, even like Attack on Titan. I'm trying to think of, yeah, at one point, China regulates a lot of its media over there. Yeah. So, but I was trying to think of what the other one was that got pulled. I can't recall off the top of my head. It was big. Oh, it was My Hero Academia. Got in like big trouble.
Really?
Yes, because one of the villains had a name that seemed to reference war crimes committed against the Chinese people during World War II.
Oh, no, I remember that.
Yeah.
And they had to change the character's name. Yeah, and that got the manga pulled off the service. And I think the anime too, and I don't even know if it's back still yet. So it's just sort of blown up into this big like hubbub. I don't know you guys have any comments on that, but I read that and I was like, whoa, I don't know where this is gonna go next.
Yeah, people are saying like yikes and messy and big oof. I mean,
rest in peace, perv baby. Thank you, Gabby.
Gosh.
Okay. I mean, yes,
I don't watch this anime and I won't be. So yeah. I mean, that's what this headline's done for me. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely not the kind of this anime keeps getting followed by a lot of like bad press, I guess I would say, like just getting itself into sticky situations that it can't get itself out of. So I haven't watched any of it either, but the studio behind it, you know, I'm kind of interested to see who works at the studio there and what their next projects will be, because it looks gorgeous. Like the animation is really, really great. So that's the one, like,
we watched it during the watch party and we were all like about it. And now you told me, you're like, oh, that's the one that we really liked. And I was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, the trailer for it was dope. I watched the trailer for it and I was like, whoa, that's really cool. This world looks amazing. Like the fighting animation and like magic animation and everything looked really great. And then I didn't know anything about its less than savory content until after like the first or second episode aired. And I was like, oh, perv baby. Okay.
Well, I think if I remember right, if reading the story, that one of the big things that the Billy Billy of the YouTube user said was he made a lot of comments about like the fans of the show, you know, like all the people that like the show are such and such and so and so.
Yeah. And he made some real blanket statements about them.
Yeah.
That wasn't cool.
And that's one of like the first things you learn when you get into the business of talking about media, is that, you know, you can trash talk a show all you want. And obviously there are going to be times where, you know, if you like something that's like super, super racist or super, super, you know, gross in other ways, that probably, but at the same time, you generally want to just avoid like saying, hey, if you like the show, you're a bad person, because
don't do that.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So everything else we have to talk about though is good.
You, Lindsay, Billy Billy is the biggest geek streaming service in China. I don't even know how to say this. IQIYI is the biggest mainstream service.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Christopher is my boss and he's basically just, you know,
He's a
big fan of what we create and also a big fan of correcting me when I'm wrong. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. No, I always appreciate corrections. I'd rather be more accurate than have my feelings saved. So thanks. For the next headline, this one's really short, but I'm super excited about it. And I assume that Jackie's super excited about it. And that is going to be more Sailor Moon Crystal. The first two movies premiere in Japan, and they cover what was the Super S arc or Super's arc or Eternal arc, if you're going by the manga. And the second movie ended and said to be continued. So one would only assume that we're going to get a Sailor Stars Crystal adaptation. I haven't seen these movies yet, so I don't know. I wasn't a fan of Crystal's first two seasons, and the third season was like marginally better, but I had hopes for these films. And I like Chiaki Kon, who's the director of it. So I'd hope for these films, and I hope they're good. A little bird that I can't say for sure, but suspect is accurate, says that they'll be on Netflix. So we'll get to hopefully check them out there. Yeah, there were some some leaked images of voice actors recording lines, and you could see it's a Netflix up on a screen somewhere. Wow. So that's I'm not leaking it. Someone else did. So those are supposed to be on Netflix, and then hopefully I can gauge my excitement for Stars after that. But the Stars manga is a lot different than the anime, just like the Supers manga is a lot different than the previous anime adaptation. So
interesting.
Yeah, so I'd be excited to see
that. Sign me up. I mean, I'm here for anything Sailor Moon. The only thing that stinks is just because of COVID, obviously, like we can't see this in theaters. And I always felt like Crystal's animation was so good. So I was actually excited about these movies because I felt like in a theater, it would probably be a really great experience. You know, like, I think all three of us can say seeing like an anime movie in a theater is just such it. One, the audience is usually dope. Like, everybody's just as excited as you are and just geeking out as much as you are. Like, I saw Broly, like, three times. And one time in an IMAX. And every time it was just, like, more exciting just because of the people there.
The energy is so much better in a theater. Yeah. I got to see Bungo Stray Dogs at a convention. The Bungo Stray Dogs Dead Apple movie at a convention. And, I mean, like, I wasn't even... I like the show well enough. Like, it's not like one of my top five, but it was still, the movie was way more enjoyable just because, like, there are people dressed up as the characters sitting next to me and they're screaming when their favorite characters come. And that excitement is just like contagious. I'm like, oh, everyone's having such a good time. This is so much fun.
I miss it. COVID times, everybody. We're going to get through. We'll get through.
So Sailor Moon, that's one of my big kind of anime blind spots. I've only ever caught like a few stray episodes when I was a kid, like on Toonami. Is Crystal not the best like jumping on point then if you're like a new fan looking to get into it?
Interesting question. Lindsay, you want to go first?
So I think the original 90s anime has a lot of charm. And there is a lot of quote unquote filler that doesn't like adapt the manga story, but they use that really well to build your admiration for the characters and really get attached and find your favorite one. And usually it's pretty good about like having some standout episodes for each character. So if you're like me and Jackie, a Sailor Mars fan, you know, she gets like her big moments and you get really excited. Whereas Crystal is, at least the first two seasons and pretty much the third as well, is more like a straight adaptation of the manga, which was, it ran in Nakayoshi and it's pretty light on plot. And there's not a lot of depth to it. Like I love the manga because the art is gorgeous and it's just like another, it's like another flavor of the same thing. But I grew up first with the anime. So in IMO, you go with the 90s anime. You can always skip some of the filler episodes if you want, but most of them are funny. Like if they're not so they're not like central to the plot, then they're at least really funny.
Yeah. For me, it was like just the 90s anime was just so much better. You know what I mean? So, and I don't know, again, if it's just like nostalgia and like Lindsay and I just grew up with it. It was just like, when I tried to watch Crystal, I was just like, this just ain't it.
And they did those weird CG. Like, they did those weird CG transformations too.
CG transformations now.
I mean, I've got the Outers transformation music still as my ringtone. Like I will probably never change it. It's a really good ringtone. So I love Sailor Moon. I'm wearing my Sailor Moon necklace today too.
Are you?
Yeah.
I wore my Attack on Titan shirt. You can't even
see it. I wore my Attack on Titan shirt last week.
Last time. Yeah, Mikasa's on here repping my girl. But anyway, Sailor Moon, we could talk about that for hours. Yeah. That could literally be an episode. So
for real. Yeah.
We'll not do that right now.
No, we'll go to next big hype. Next big hype is that they finally announced more Demon Slayer. We were just talking about it last week, and now we get more. They're adapting what's called like the Entertainment District arc, which I don't know what that means because I haven't read the manga.
Yeah,
but no, like, I don't know. Are they going to like Kabukicho or something? I don't know. But
is this involve the same characters though? Like, because I was reading this article and I was like, is this like a spin-off, like, you know, Burn the Witch to Bleach, or is this like still in that world? Like I was a little confused.
I think it's still the same world because they haven't adapted the whole manga yet. So it would be kind of weird to like go off on an offshoot at this point.
When it said new TV anime, I was just like, is it still connected or like it's not the second season? I'm just like, I'm a little
I think confused. It is. Yeah, I think it is definitely the second season. I guess I would need to ask someone who's like someone call like Nick Dupree, because I'm not familiar with the manga, and yeah. I'd need to ask him like, hey, where does this take place in it? But I'm pretty sure that it's more from the manga, like the main manga. So
you know. This is a great anime, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'd love to see more of it. And the character they put on the key visual, like, I don't know who that is. Guy looks freaking ripped though. So, you know, he's got two swords. He looks good.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does.
Cool.
He looks like he's just gonna bust out of those like bracers on his arm. So like he could like flex and they just like poing or something.
I feel like that's cutting off the circulation something fierce.
Something's happening with the circulation there.
Yeah.
It's like going Super Saiyan or something. But he looks dope. I'm here for it. So
and then the last final one's real short, but we finally got the reveal of the monster design for Godzilla Singular Point, which is a TV anime that'll be on Netflix by Studio Trigger. And he's got thick thighs.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to like appreciate like the line between where the tail starts and like the thigh ends, because there's a very apt, like very the curvature there is just you know.
Yeah.
And it reminds me,
he's got thick thighs. Like
he's a big boy.
He's gonna crush you in them, you know? Like he's just gonna like snap Mothra's head off with those things, I think.
Honestly, I feel like, you know, I've had a bunch of like Godzilla figurines in the past, and it was like they made his leg longer and his body shorter, and so like his thigh just looks so much bigger, because before they were like short, thick thighs. But now they're like long, thick thighs. So you're just like, whoa, okay. So I'm a fan of it, though. I'm like, he looks dope. So
it reminds me of this article we put up on Interest, I think, last year. And it was this teenage girl. And she had, like, the biggest crush on Godzilla. She deeply loves. So they set her up to go on a date with Godzilla for the day. So she got to, like, go to the beach with Godzilla and go to, like, a planetarium. Got to go to a planetarium with Godzilla, got to go to like a Godzilla museum with Godzilla, and she could like perfectly imitate his roar. So like she would like do the Godzilla scream at him like on the beach, and then she asked him to marry her at the end. I think he said no, but you know, because
he's already taken. Mothra is his queen, so
yeah. And I was just like, I mean, she had all these doodles of Godzilla. Like, she was, like, obsessed with him, like, in the same way that I am obsessed with Levi Ackerman. It was ridiculous. She's just, like, doodling him in her notebook and stuff. And so I was like, someone let that girl take Godzilla to prom.
Godzilla prom. Monster. There's a game called Monster Prom, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Just have a Godzilla DLC. And then.
Yeah, for real.
She's a teenager, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Lindsay, you and I were like this about Tuxedo Mask, so I ain't even gonna hate on this girl. Like, you know, you don't even. I had the biggest crush on Darian, actually, to this day. Like, dark-haired, tall guys with light eyes, and I'm like,
and this purple is pants. Mass.
And purple what?
Pants. Who wears purple pants in the anime?
Oh my god, the black turtleneck, right?
Yeah. And he has like an olive blazer and like a black turtleneck.
Do not, you know what? Sailor Moon fashion to this day, that's why Crystal sucks, is because it doesn't have the 90s fashion.
It's true. That's true. That stuff has gone back around at this point. Like Rey has these really cute pink overalls that I would wear now. They're just so cute. Yeah.
All of any, like, I love following like these Instagram accounts that like they take all these like screen caps from old 90s shows and just like the clothes always.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it was a different time, y'all. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Like, one of the things that tied me into that show when I was like fifth grade or something was the fashion, not necessarily because I thought it was like I wanted to dress that way, but it was the first cartoon I watched where the characters seemed to have like a closet, because all the American cartoons, it was just the character had their like standard design, and there might be a special episode somewhere where they have a different outfit, but otherwise, you know, like Doug, they all wear the same clothes throughout Doug, right? And then I watched Sailor Moon and it's like, wow, like she's got like a bathing suit, and she's got like, I haven't seen her wear the same outfit in the last like five episodes. Like, they're really like thinking about this, and I don't know, it just stuck with me. I was like, that's
really cool. To like sketch them in all their different outfits and then like in their like beautiful like gowns that I made up in fan fiction. God, that anime just, I was a strange child. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Lots of Sailor Moon fan fiction and sketchbooks that were really, really bad drawings of them in different fashionable outfits. But I move on. Again, Lindsay and I are going to have a special Sailor Moon.
Yeah, we'll have to have a Sailor Moon episode at some point, for real. But all
and
this
will just sit there and nod the whole time and be like, this is weird.
So speaking of Darian, though, it is the day after Valentine's Day. And so I wanted to ask you guys and chat, let us know too, like, who is your anime Valentine this year? James, you go first, because we've been talking over you about Sailor Moon this whole time. So I'm
sorry.
Well, I feel bad because I cheated a little bit. Okay. My choice was anime adjacent. It's a Final Fantasy character. And that's like the most anime of video games in a lot of ways. And so I felt like that was appropriate. But my Valentine's, I chose Ishtola from Final Fantasy 14.
Okay.
And she's just like a cool, awesome sorceress that doesn't take any crap from anybody. And you feel like she could insult the daylights out of you, but you would like know that she's right the entire time, and that just make you respect her more. And
like, so step on me vibes.
Yes. Yeah. And especially in the most recent patch or the most recent expansion, Shadowbringers, she has like this goth witch like whole sort of getup going on, and it is just it's great. It's really great. She is the there are infinite fan wars amongst Final Fantasy 14 fans over who is truly the best girl. Yeah. But I'd put money on Ishtola 9 times out of 10.
Nice. What about you, Jackie?
Okay, well, I know who I picked. I was trying to think of who from the final. I would say Squall. I had a big crush on him if we're going to talk Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Man.
Good choice.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, beauty. But for anime, I think like Darian was my first crush or whatever, but at like all time, Grimmjow from Bleach, man. Like that is just like physical perfection.
Whoa.
And he's just got like, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm weird, so I love a guy who's a little bit dangerous, so he just is like perfection to me.
We're not even eyeshadow game.
I submitted a shirtless photo and obviously they didn't go with that. I mean, the guy has like an 8-pack. Like I was just like, I don't even remember when I first started watching Bleach. I had to be really young. I had to be like a teenager or whatever, but I was like, can a man be this beautiful? Like, is it possible that a man is that attractive? And then he's like sassy and like ambitious and just wild. Like, Grimmjow will always be my all-time crush. I just like love him to pieces. So, Grimmjow, be my Valentine a day late. Lindsay, so, who's your pick?
I picked someone from this anime season. I tried to go recent, and also this is kind of telling because I kind of like go through characters each season and have a different favorite all the time. So I picked Izumi from, oh God, why am I blanking on the name of the anime? Horimiya. I almost lost it there for a second. Oh my God. So I love this boy so much, and I can list off like at least 5 to 10 different reasons why. 1, look at his hair. 2, look at his piercings. 3, he's very sweet. And he cares about Hori and like is very like in tune with her feelings, and he's kind of quiet, but his parents work at a cake shop, so he always has access to cake, which, I mean, and brings it over all the time. He's good with children, like he helps her take care of her little brother and doesn't seem to mind it at all. So he's just like, he's got the edginess, but he's also a very sweet boy, and I like
he seems two perfect
things. I know,
perfect.
Yeah. In that first episode when, because I mean, already he's hot as hell, right?
Like, right,
he's
just right.
Got the look about him. But in that first episode when Hori's the girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When she kind of makes up the excuse for him to come over and like hang out with her little brother to have him come over again. And his first reaction is, oh, cool. I'll stop by the bookstore and get a picture book to read to him. It's aww. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Can you be this good?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, where is the flaw?
Fruit basket, like just like too perfect. Like you're just like, there's nothing wrong with you.
That's a really good comparison that he's like a gender swap Toru. He's very much like her, I think, as far as like that thoughtful perfection type. I also really like the scene from the first episode where he has to make it to the sale to get eggs. And he like removes his glasses and like loosens his tie and then like jumps over a fence and like soars over, and you're just like, wow.
Oh my gosh. I have not watched this anime. I've seen so many people tweeting about it though and saying like it is a must watch. So
it is so cute.
You're just telling me on it right now. Okay. All right. Horimiya, I'm putting it on the watch list. So
yeah. Really. Yay. Yeah. If anyone hasn't checked out Horimiya yet, it is streaming on Funimation and it is great.
Okay. Attack on Titan time.
It's Attack on Titan time.
Go on and tell your friends.
Yeah. Just like every time, as you can see below, we're not doing any manga spoilers. Don't share manga spoilers. It'll make like James rage, and you know, I don't
cry.
He's really hard to talk down once he gets up there. So, you know, please just be considerate of James and everybody else. And yeah, we're going to talk about episode 69, A Sound Argument. And this was kind of like a lull episode. Like there's a lot going on plot wise, but there wasn't any action really in this episode. And there was a lot of flipping back and forth between like three timelines, right, James?
I think two. I think it's just pre going to Marley and then post going to Marley. But I did get confused. There were a couple of points because they don't do any like sound effects, and really the only way it's kind of like with what was that movie, Little Women, where you have to pay attention to everyone's hair, and that's how you know like what time period you're in, or if Sasha's alive. If Sasha's alive, then you know what time period you're in.
Right. Oh my
gosh. Yeah, they didn't really do good transitions. So sometimes I'd be like, oh, okay, Sasha's here. So we're, you know,
in the past.
But like, so that's so funny, the hair length thing. Okay, I got a lot of questions for James. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if like Lindsay has a certain agenda here or not. First, what is Aaron? What's going on with Aaron? Like, what's his plan? I mean, like, we see him in the little like prison, right? And then he... like, honestly, that was a really, really chilling moment to me when he like grabbed Hong. I'm not sure how to say her name. Yeah. And oh, wow. We have a visual. Look.
Yes.
Woo! Anime NYC with the visuals here. this scene. And then he was like, what, like, why do you think I'm in here? Like, I could break out of here like in a second, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, Aaron is dealing with so much self-hatred. He's also dealing with like, what does he want to do in the future? Like, I was just like, God, I want to just see what y'all think is going on in his head. Also, I love, is it Hang Hong?
I always say Hanji.
Hanji. So, love her. I just love her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like trying to connect with him, trying to be his friend. And I think she like walks out and she was like, oh my God, like, why am I even doing this? And I'm just like, not capable. You know, and I was like, God, I love you, girl. Like, you're the only one who's like trying to have a conversation with him after he's just completely like gone over the edge and everyone's like kind of afraid of him, you know, like I would be. But like, yeah, I guess I just wanted to see what y'all thought about like, where is Aaron at? You know what I mean? And like, what is he thinking now? Like, what are his next moves going to be? And I'd love for the chat, like, drop what you're thinking too, but I definitely want to pick both of your brains about it too.
I have a theory, and my theory is that, so because of some of the stuff we saw from the past, as far as like trying to keep Historia out of the mix, like Aaron and a lot of the other people from Eldians, all the other Eldians, they don't want Historia to have to become a Titan. And they also don't want to keep having to pass down these Titan powers because they think it's gonna, you know, just sort of keep the status quo where it is, where there's constantly this fighting and trust issues because they can turn into man-eating giants. So they don't want to go down that route. I think Aaron's goal is to eat all of the current Titans and then kill himself. And that's sort of that's just the feeling that I got, is that he wants to take...
great. I mean, that's not great, but I think you're right.
I think that's where he's going. I don't have a lot of like really good evidence to support that, but that's kind of what I think his end game might be. As far as like why he's trying to eat them all and sort of kind of going this.
Lindsay just solved Attack on Titan right now. Like, everyone, you heard it here first. I'm like, holy crap.
I think he wants to sacrifice himself. I do. I think that's where he's at with it. He's going to take out all the Titans by absorbing them himself. And then, yeah. I don't know, throwing himself into the ocean or something. I don't know. But so that's kind of where I'm thinking his head is at. But I mean, his story is pregnant. Can we talk about that too? Like,
I wrote that down too. Like, they're just
where's Titan Maury Povich?
They just dropped too much. Like, it was like Mikasa's like royalty or from some like family of nobility, and then it's like Historia's pregnant. And then, like, I was just like, what the hell? That was, like, a lot going on in one episode. I don't even know where to start on that. Like, it kind of frustrated me a little bit. Like, I felt, like, I understand we're in the final season. They're trying to get a lot done. But, like, both of those just seemed extremely rushed to me and just kind of weird.
It was kind of weird. But I think Aaron orchestrated her pregnancy. See, that's also where I'm going with that, is because he had, I don't think he's the dad. But I think I don't think he's the dad, but I think he told her, like, you need to go get pregnant, because if you get pregnant, they can't make you absorb a Titan right now. And that'll give you 9 months of break. They won't, they'll leave you alone, because physically while you're pregnant, they can't have you do that. So it was a stopgap for him to keep them from having her take on any of the powers. Mm. And I think that was his idea.
Yeah, no, my first thought. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I like these theories.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my first thought was, I like that theory about him wanting to eat all the Titans and then just end it all on his own. I think the one thing that would maybe make me wonder about that, and, you know, like people in the chat were saying, there's so much we don't know. Mm-hmm. Because the big takeaway about Aaron from this episode is that there's like a really stark contrast between where he was at before he went to Marley. You know, he was very against, like you said, sacrificing Historia. They had that really sweet scene with Sasha when she was still mm-hmm. alive and the rest of the scouts, where he said, I don't want any of you to take on the Attack Titan mantle from me. I want you all to live long lives. I want to protect you. Mm-hmm. And then now, post Marley, it's something that Connie and Jean point out, where, you know, he's willing to put Armin and Mikasa in harm's way without even thinking about it. Right. He got Sasha killed. And and so I guess if his mindset is in like a big picture, like, I'm going to save the world, even if it means sacrificing all of my friends, mm-hmm. I can maybe see like his justification for pursuing that. But I'm just nervous, because when you say he's maybe not the dad of Historia, I'm just so scared, because this whole through line of him just taking control of everything and, you know, doing everything himself. My big worry is, what if he did, like, what if he is Historia's father? Historia's baby's father.
Baby's daddy.
Yeah.
Oh! Y'all are stirring the pot right now. You two are stirring the pot. Okay. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't. They kind of already kind of had like a connection. You know what I mean? Because they like went through all that stuff when her dad was trying to get her to eat. You know, like, there was a lot of drama that they went through, you know?
Yeah.
So they might have that connection there. Honestly, when Lindsay just said, I'm not saying Aaron's the dad, I was thinking, I was like, well.
Yeah.
I mean,
because that story that they give.
Yeah,
they give that story. It's, I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't buy that. Like the volunteer farmhand who's,
yeah, what?
Yeah,
that was no.
And she had that look on her face too when they like were talking. Yeah, she had that look on her face. Like,
yeah,
it's not one of, you know. Let's
this
say
is not baby. Enjoyable.
No, mm-hmm. That is not a happy participant. So
no. Yeah. We're all looking at her face and we're like, we're like, you don't so approach your, like, I guess they're not married, right? They're not married, right?
But no, I mean, they didn't say anything about a wedding. Supposedly she just went and hooked up, like had a literal roll in the hay with this guy. And
Lindsay. That was a really good pun. Like, I don't even know, like, just setting that up. But yes, yeah. Okay. A lot of drama. Somebody else said in the chat, I think it was, I lost it. I think it was Gabriella, but just like, it just seems super rushed. Yeah. Like, so many big things, like, like I do want to talk about Mikasa too. Like I was just like that. Just I tried to rewatch that 3 times and I still don't know what was going on. So I just put in my notes, ask James.
Yeah. So they definitely had like they established last season with I just forgot his name, the butcher, the Kenny, with Kenny and with Levi. They established this like the Ackerman line and how they're like the royal guard basically, and they established the you know that connection there. But they've never really gone into a lot of detail about like the origins of it or like how it all got started. And so I wasn't super shocked when that reveal happened, if only because I always thought it was weird that in a country where everyone has like a European or a Germanic name, she has like the one Japanese name. And once we discovered that there was like a whole nation of, you know, the Attack on Titan version of Japanese people, I figured there had to be some kind of connection there. But yeah, I do agree that especially since they had to like retcon in that hand tattoo thing that definitely was not in the anime before. It felt like it was table setting. You know, the whole episode is basically like, these are things that are important. We got to just get it all out here now because you only have like 6 episodes left.
Yes, for sure. Actually, a lot of people in the chat are saying like Mikasa's thing felt rushed. I just am like, you know, I get it. It's the final season. And honestly, they've been killing it. I don't even want to like criticize that much, but it's just like this episode was just kind of like, I was like, oh, wow. Like they're just running out of time. And they were just like, boop, boop, boop. You know what I mean? So
a lot of it also, I think, and we didn't talk about this last episode, but a lot of it felt like more intentional parallels to previous real history. So like we showed that picture earlier of what, yes, this one. It reminds me a lot of Matthew Perry. When they, you know, forced Japan to open a trade by, you know, threatening to cannonball them, you know, like, oh, you're gonna trade stuff with us or we're gonna just start killing people. This is America. So that image immediately reminded me of that. And there's definitely a couple different points throughout this episode with how Mikasa's home country interacts with the Eldians and how like Japan was with the United States post-World War II. Like, and it seemed like it was critical of it because if you're familiar with, Marshall, the Marshall deal, is that what it's called? Someone who's better at history than me, drop the name of that. It's where the United States basically helped Japan rebuild itself after we dropped the atomic bombs on them by selling them U.S. steel at like half price. So in that way, we upped our economy by getting goods over there and Japan was able to rebuild the damage we did to them. So it kind of seemed a little bit like that because they made Mikasa's home nation, made them out to be money grubbers. I mean, they called them that.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of like,
the old lady licked her lips. I was
talking about like how she was like, going to get access. Old lady licked her lips because she was talking about how she was going to get like priority trade access to a limited resource on Paradise Island that would power war machines. And so all of that just seemed sort of, and there's been other things much earlier that has brought some criticism on Attack on Titan and it handling historical themes like with the Eldians and the armbands and the Jewish ghetto comparison and things like that, that have caused a lot of controversy with exactly how the story is framed and whether it is sympathetic to fascism or not. I don't get that impression at this point in it, but manga readers might have a more nuanced take on that, or James, you might actually, you're a little more like deep in the lore than probably I am.
It's
all this stuff, by the way, like he said in the manga, the lady drooled instead of licking her lips. So I guess maybe in the manga went a little bit further with that. Also Theo, thank you for all these facts. He also dropped that also to be clear, the Azumabito, I think that was what they were called, are not the Ackermans. Mikasa's father was an Ackerman and Mikasa's mother was an Azumabito.
That's why she's both. So in case you all didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And that. Marshall Plan, you were correct.
Marshall Plan. Yeah. I want to call it Marshall Project.
In case you wanted to know, Lipsy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, speaking of the historical parallels, it's weird because I think what tripped people up a lot for understandable reasons is how there are definitely points in the show where you could like frame the Eldians on Paradis as like one of the historical nations involved in like World War II. And then like the Marleyans were the others. And then obviously when the Eldians and Marley, you saw they had those armbands that they have to wear. It all felt very on the nose because it's Attack on Titan. But as the story has developed, the show keeps like basically tossing out all of these historical parallels, but not at random, but it's all being applied in ways that don't really work for like a one-to-one comparison. Like for instance, in this episode, I think her name's Kiyomi, the ambassador.
Right.
She lays out Zeke's 3 points for like, here's what you need to do in order to like save yourself from Marley. And one of them, it's all about the rumble. It's about, you know, like we talked about last time, the using the Titans and the walls as like a weapon of mass destruction. And one of the points was, well, first of all, we need to have like a test run in order to demonstrate how deadly and powerful this weapon is.
Right.
And, you know, the obvious parallels to like the way that the atom bomb was used in World War II.
Yeah, it reminded me of that as well.
And so in that sense, it's like, oh, like, are the Eldians kind of the America in the situation where they have access to this, you know, untold amount of power and they're going to police the world with it. But then you have the fact that, like, King Fritz, German name, basically used his magic powers to uphold that non-aggression pact in the same way that, you know, when Japan redid its constitution post-World War II, they were forced to put the non-aggression pact in their constitution.
Right.
And so in that sense, the Eldians are also kind of like post-war Japan in that they're not able to like defend themselves with the military for like a built-in reason. And so I don't know if at this point, I think what the show is doing is it's just using really on the nose historical parallels to make broader points about the cause and effect of war and of fascism and nationalism. But yeah, like you said, I don't really think you can say at this point the show is pro-fascist just because we have so many characters in the show that are calling out why it is bad to be fascist and how awful it is.
And their suffering is really, really laid out for us.
Yeah.
So it definitely doesn't make it look like, you know, if you all just get in step with each other, there's a great life waiting for you. Because obviously, you know, that's not what anyone in the show is experiencing. But I think you're right that it's not like they've picked one group of characters and been like, this is parallel for this group. It's almost like all of them have different things from different groups to others.
Yeah.
So there's no like clean differentiation.
It's very messy.
Yes. Yeah.
Extremely messy. So I heard you briefly talking about Zeke's plan, James, and I was just like wondering if maybe you could rehash through that again, a part I reminded 3 times. And then I was like, ask James, because I was just like, I'll be honest, like, maybe I'm just going to sound dumb, but I was like, okay, wait, what's supposed to happen with Historia? And like, how is Aaron involved? Like the whole thing just kind of confused me. So you said like, they said 3 things like really definitively. So I'm just like, let's just lay it out. So like, if anybody's watching and they're like me and they're confused, like at least they can kind of get a sense of like what the plan is, what Zeke's plan.
Mm-hmm. So to my understanding, the initial plan before Aaron kind of went off and did his own thing was that so the first point was we want to use the rumbling and basically threaten the world with it and say, hey, if you don't, you know, lay off and if you don't let us have our seat at the throne again, we're going to destroy the world with the rumbling. And they were going to employ the Azumabito from Hizuru. They were going to employ that nation's help with the he offered the Iceburst Stone so that they could have like that military support that they would use in order not to use the rumbling. So to basically say, all right, guys, we have our allies and we're going to fight this war. Don't make us use the rumbling. And then in order to use the rumbling, you have to have the Attack Titan and then not the Attack Titan. Sorry, you have to have the Founding Titan. And then you also have to have the Titan with the royal blood. And if you remember last time, Aaron was able to use the founding Titan power like once because he made physical contact with Dinah Fritz's Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And I was a little confused at first because Zeke should have royal blood because Dinah was his mother. But yeah. I now understand, or I think I understand, that like we alluded to earlier, his plan is to basically set up a perpetual Titan like machine so that because the Titans die after 13 years.
Right.
And so they need to basically set up a plan to essentially go back to the way things were before the Titan War, where the Titans are perpetually being passed down. You have that royal bloodline so that the rumbling can be used. And then that way no one ever messes with the Eldians again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Gabriella just put Zeke and Aaron need to hold hands.
Yes.
Founding Titan in order to do something.
It's kind of like the Care Bears where they hold hands. Yeah. And the Care Bear stare.
That visual, I just can't get out of my head now. But so then how did Historia come into play? And then like, how was he protecting her then?
I think so I can answer that.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I go think, for it.
So Historia, because she has royal blood, when they were presenting Zeke's plan, they basically insinuated that they need to breed her like as much as possible in 13 years so that they have a large population of royal bloodline Titans to continue passing the Titans down from. And that's why Aaron got so upset too, because he seemed like he was like, so what? We're just like livestock. Like, you're going to, because we have the Titan blood in us, or because we can get the Titan powers, like you're going to make us have a bunch of babies, like, which, you know, he wasn't cool with. So I think part of the thing he wanted to prevent with Historia, even though she's pregnant now, was them breeding her. And I think him as well, maybe James does need to fill in a little bit.
I don't think him, he just needs to pass on the power. So okay. Someone just need, now that they have the Titan serum, they can turn people into Titans, and they just need to have someone eat him, basically. And so so that they can have like the 13 year on the clock. And then once their 13 years are up, they'll have someone else eat them. But like you said, in order to perpetuate the royal bloodline, Historia is the one that needs to breed. I guess in theory, Zeke could also do it. I mean, maybe there's like a plot point there that the show hasn't hit yet, but, and now that I'm thinking about it, as you were explaining that, it could be that maybe Historia went and got pregnant on her own because she wants Zeke's plan to work. Like, she's on board with it.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe she just, yeah.
Exactly. She just, that's probably why she wasn't happy. Like, she was just like, okay, great. Well, we just got to, like, start popping kids out. That's right. So sad.
Yeah, because they talked, when they were first presenting that part of the plan, Historia actually did seem begrudgingly maybe on board with it, and it was Aaron that was like, hey, wait, no, like, we're not doing that, you're not doing that to her. So it's possible that she was like, I'm the queen and this is a sacrifice that I actually have to make, so I'm just gonna go do it, and then went and got pregnant.
And then those guys at the table got mad at her for getting pregnant when she's trying to like follow the plan. That guy just pissed me off. Like, I was like,
and then and they talk about how they think that Yelena like convinced her to do it so she couldn't be turned into a Titan.
Yeah.
But, that's kind of where I got confused a little bit too, because, and again, maybe it's because the plan has changed because of what Aaron has done, but Yelena and Onyakopom work for Zeke. And if that was a part of Zeke's original plan, then they should in theory be on board with her becoming pregnant, but maybe they like wanted to wait until after she inherited the Beast Titan power from Zeke. So I don't know. Yeah, that's all a little tricky because it's still not, we still don't actually know what Zeke's plan is as of right now, and whether or not Aaron's plan, which we also don't know in full, are the same.
Right. Because we only know Zeke's plan as of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Ish. Right. We don't know how it may have adjusted since then. And Jackie, what you were talking about those like assholes at the table. There's my one curse word for this episode. It was just, it just seemed like they were perpetuating the same kind of racism towards Marleyans that we've seen Marleyans perpetuate against Eldians, like how they talk to the waitstaff. You can always tell how good a person is by how they treat the waitstaff.
Yeah.
And they were not nice. Mm-hmm. So they are bad people. So the real question is Niccolo gonna poison all of them? Because they have that scene where they go down the cellar and Niccolo's like, can I interest you in this fine vintage? But he looks like,
I totally forgot about this. You're right. Yeah. And I was like, did he just try to poison all of them? So he did?
I don't know. We don't know. It's alluded. It's just,
I don't know why they'd have that scene if that wasn't what was being implied.
Yeah, but okay. So who, okay, those guys at the table, they were Eldians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Pyrgis. Okay.
So,
but they're just, we haven't like met them before.
So they were, why would they be like poisoned? What, like, what was?
Well, Niccolo's really sad that Sasha died. I mean, Niccolo was the guy
who cooked. Poisoning them because they talk shit.
Possibly because he's Marleyan.
Yeah, so
Marleyan.
A little extreme, I would say.
Is it?
Okay, I mean, I was, that all happened really fast, and I was like, damn, he's gonna poison them for that? And then the episode kept on going on. I was like, okay, yeah. But Lindsay's okay with the poisoning.
I mean, they're keeping Marleyans, you know, the same way that Marleyans were keeping Eldians back in Marley. So, you know, they were separating them all, and now they've got all these Marleyan prisoners of war on Paradis, including Gabby and Falco, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't seen them in a while, but those two kids are still locked up somewhere ever since they got aboard the airship and shot Sasha. So, I mean, both sides are having, you know, have their prisoners of opposing nations, and both sides are treating their prisoners like shit. So,
yeah.
Might poison a guy. You might work your way up through the ranks as a prisoner of war to the point where they trust you to cook their food, and then you poison them because, you know, they've been keeping you captive.
So maybe. I want to pretend I understand this. I don't know if I followed everything. So the big takeaways are Aaron's losing it. We don't know what the hell he's thinking. Like, we just don't know where he's at. And he's obviously like, there's a lot of self-loathing. He's locking himself up in there, and he's looking himself in the mirror and talking to himself like he's in trouble.
He got locked in there by everyone else.
Yeah. But he's choosing to stay in there because he's just like, I felt like he was just so mad at himself. And he's like, where am I right now? Like, it's like, that's what I felt like. Also, when Hanji said that I don't talk to myself in the mirror, I was like, am I crazy? Because sometimes I talk to myself in the mirror. So I apparently am nuts. Moving on. So Zeke's plan is basically to get Historia to make a bunch of kids, and then she would have to eat him. Or like, am I following? Okay.
And activate the rumbling, which will scare the rest of the world into falling into line with the Eldians.
Okay. And then she would have to eat Aaron as well.
I mean, no, she doesn't have to.
No, she doesn't have to. Okay. So Aaron was just mad because he doesn't want her to get like involved. He's just like, ugh, like, please don't get her involved with this. Okay. So I think I'm caught up with both of the plans. So we don't have that much time left. And I thought we should talk about the carriage ride, because for me, that hit and it got me emotional.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I don't know. I'm sure we can all talk about it a little bit. Like, for me, it's just like, man, this has been such a journey with this anime. I'm sure everyone like who's in this chat right now, and like, we all love you. Thank you guys for being so interactive. There's like essays in the chat. Like, I love it. but it's like, you know, like, this has been such a journey, and like, this final season has just been so crazy. And just to see our, like, they feel like our babies, and now they're like grown up, you know, and they're just like all sitting there. And like, they all have their own little personality. And I loved how, like, you know, right off the bat, like, all of them wanted to take Aaron's power so none of the other ones had to suffer. You know what I mean? And that it was such a beautiful scene, because like, you see like Mikasa be like, no, I want to do this. And they're like, no, well, we can't lose you because you're so great. And then like, Jean was like, well, I'll just take it. And he's like all cocky, like he always is. And like, you loved it. And then they're like, no, but like, we need you as a leader, which is like valid. And then like, Connie and Sasha are both like, well, you're an idiot. Well, you're even more of an idiot. Like, I was just like, my eyes were watering the whole time. And it was, I think, James, you were saying it was super comedic. Like, it was funny. You know, like, Connie was like, wait, you're telling me that I can't because I'm an idiot? You're more of an idiot than me. And I'm like, I was like cry laughing, you know, because it was just like, just, we've grown up with them. Like, they're like our children. And then just like to see what great like humans they've all become. Like, that scene hit me like so hard. And Lindsay knows I am basically a teenage boy somehow in a 33-year-old woman's body. And it's like, when there ain't action in something, like, I'm like, this is boring. I'm out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and this episode was good to me. Like, it was good. And there was not, and I really can't remember any action. I don't think there was an ounce of it. Right.
No.
So I think I was just floored. James, you tweeted out something earlier just about like how great the writing has been like in this final season. And for, we all said it, every, there was a couple things that seemed really rushed, but like this scene hit me like so hard. So like, I just wanted to see what y'all thought of it. Obviously you can tell I was a fan of it. So Lindsay, you go first.
Oh, well, I mean, my favorite part was Connie and Sasha, because, and James touches on this in his review, they do that deadpan thing with their faces where they draw the lines under their eyes, like almost like they can't believe how stupid each other is. Like, so they've got these lines and they're just like, yeah, it was kind of like that one. And he's just like, what are, but
I love it.
You think I'm too stupid? And Sasha is just like oblivious to the fact that she's an idiot, I guess. And he just like keeps looking at her like, ugh. And anyway, so I thought that part was really good. Also, I noticed that, was Levi in that scene? This is important. But if Levi was in that scene, he did not offer to take on the Titan power. But I can't remember if he was there.
I don't think he was there.
Oh, okay.
Armin was like at the front, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And he already has a Titan power. Yeah. So maybe. Yeah.
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 Yeah. By the way, also, side note, really quickly, Levi looks so short next to all of
us. He is really like, short.
Like, you forget the dude's 5'2". Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, you forget he's 5'2". And then now they're all grown up around him. And I was just like, yeah, cracking up.
He was so mad. He was so mad that like Connie was taller. And he's like, all you guys are getting bigger. And he sounded like a dad. He kind of sounded like a dad where his kids had grown up, and he's really annoyed that he's like really tiny, but aww, it's okay. You can just put him in my pocket.
He's cute, but very short. Yeah. James, so like what stuck out to you? I mean, I'm assuming that scene was probably hard hitting, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, and not to be like too much of a bummer, but I think it ties into what the episode was trying to do. I think what really struck me about that scene especially was how much it felt like old times. Like, it had the humor of those early seasons. It had the banter, and you know, when it contrasts that with the discussion all of them have later, where they're basically talking about whether or not they're going to have to kill Aaron if he goes too far. Mm-hmm. And of course, Mikasa is the one that's like, no, like that's off the table. But everyone else, even Armin, to a degree, is like, we can't trust him anymore.
Yeah.
Like that is not Aaron. Like, that is not the person that we've been following for all these years. And I think what really hit me the most about that scene, especially when the episode was done, is I think that might be the last time we see those characters as friends and as allies in that way. I think that's done. I think with Sasha dead, and I think
kills James.
Yeah. So like, it's heartbreaking because like, you know, there's a part of me that wouldn't mind like the 8-season-long version of Attack on Titan. It's just them going on adventures forever. But you know, that's not, you know, the show's doing something a bit different. And
yeah,
when Aaron tells Hanji, like, there are no walls, there's no bars that can hold me, like, he's terrifying. Like, he's not.
You're making me cry. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Seriously, like, I'm getting emotional. James's like delivery of this, I'm just like, oh my God.
I know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, it's, Aaron has had such an evolution. And then it's almost like a de-evolution now. And it's like heartbreaking. Yeah. I know we're like running out of time, so I don't even want to like bring up that point. But like, James, like you were starting to touch on that just a little bit. It's just like, what's going to happen with Aaron, man? Like, I don't even know.
I don't think it's going to be good. Whatever it is, I don't think it's going to be good. Unless, I mean, Lindsay's theory is very interesting. Like, if it does turn out that his motivations are more altruistic, I think that could be really, like, a really cool development. But I think, you know, the show's gone so far out of its way to show all the harm that he's causing. I feel like it would still be a matter of, you know, like, at what cost? Like, you know, can any one person say, I have the solution to this, to war, without, you know, making some big mistakes?
Aaron's going to eat all the Titans, and then Mikasa's going to kill him for him out of pity, and then that's going to be the end. That's the
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. That would be so Lindsay, sad.
Will you? I mean, that's just genius. But I'm like, if you just guess the whole show, I'm gonna be mad at you because you just ruined that genius. I mean, honestly, Lindsay, I think you might have guessed it, man.
I'll send you guys cards if that's what ends up happening. It'll just say it like, I told you so in it, and I'll put them in the mail. Right. We'll read them, and it'll just be like a picture of me going like,
low key though, Lindsay, if it doesn't end like that, I'm going to be like, your ending's better.
I'm just going to write so the you creator, better, write Isayama and be like, you know, respect, but I think you should have done it this way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Aw. You guys, I love this show. I love chatting with you guys and geeking out about this like awesome anime. And like, again, I just want to say a huge thank you to the chat. Like, it's just been like a waterfall. Like, it's not like dead at all. Like, people are like super active. And thank you guys so much for being here and dropping like all these great, like, they're dropping facts, they're dropping like ideas, they're dropping like talking points. So like, we really appreciate you guys. So thank you. Just want to say thanks to chat.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for coming to the second episode of the Anime News Network after show where we're talking about Attack on Titan. We'll be here again next Monday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. And I want to give a huge shout out to Anime NYC because this just keeps getting better and better. And a lot of it is because they're here to help us out. We couldn't do it.
We love you.
Yeah.
Thank you, you guys.
And I want to remind everybody again that we have a newsletter. So please sign up for the newsletter at animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter. Pretty self-explanatory, easy to remember. So head over there if you'd like to sign up. And I also want to remind everybody to pick up your Anime News Network merchandise. Maybe I'll wear it in the next show. Cause I mean, it's some good.
I need to get mine.
It's at kimonomerch.com. So head over there, get yourself a coffee cup, get yourself a t-shirt, and support our show. Thank you, everybody, again. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.